When I got saved, God cleansed me, God washed me, and God gave me new life. But then the Lord began to deal with my heart, and God told me that there was more. That's right, there's more, my friend. And maybe you're listening to this, and you're saved, you love Jesus, but yet within your spirit, in your heart, you just know that there's something else that God has for you. Well, I can tell you what it was. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for joining us today on Truth and Fact. I'm Shannon, and I want to invite you to grab a Bible as Pastor Mark looks into the Word of God.
I would like to thank you for being a part of Truth and Fact. I pray that the Word of God is ministering and speaking to your heart. We are in the book of Joel in chapter 2, and we're dealing with the great baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And in verse 29, he says, "I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And I would like to say this, that I'm not trying to offend anybody here. I'm just trying to teach what is in the Bible. That's okay, isn't it? I just simply want to teach the Word of God. And I pray that you'll open your heart and that God will speak to you and draw you closer to Him than you've ever been before in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, my friend, God has a gift for you. He has the gift of salvation. You must be born again, but also He has the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you might be empowered for the service of the Lord. But while dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to entertain for just a moment what happened on the day of Pentecost. For one thing, we must realize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. You know, some have the mistaken idea that it's only for some and not others, but that's simply not true. In fact, you don't see that in the Bible. It's for every born-again believer in Christ Jesus. John Chrysostom wrote in the 5th century, he said this, "Whoever was baptized in apostolic days straightway spoke in tongues." That's right. In the 4th century, Augustine said this, "We still do what the apostles did when they laid hands on the Samaritans. It is expected that converts should speak with new tongues." The early church, that's right, when somebody got saved, it was expected that when they laid hands on them, that they would receive the gift of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you or submerged you into the body of Christ. You now are a member of His church. Now, I'm not talking about signing a piece of paper to be a member of a denomination. I'm talking about being a member of God's church. And to do that, you must be born again. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the only way you're getting into heaven, because if your name is not in the book, you're not getting into heaven, and you don't belong to God. But now God desires for you, those that are saved, to experience and receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's when Jesus submerges you or baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. This is the Pentecostal experience in which we all must encounter. This is what God desires for us. That's right. You're listening to this right now. And you want to know what the will of God is? Well, I can tell you, if you're saved and you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, that's the will of God for you. Let's not resist it. Let's not sweep it under the rug. Let's not throw it out the window. Just because we don't understand it, that is not enough reason. I'll show you scripture after scripture after scripture that shows us that it is for you and I today, believers, in 2014. Oh, yes, it is. Look, Acts 1 and 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them," that's Jesus, "not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Jesus wasn't asking the church to wait for the promise of the Father. He was commanding them to wait. It was a militant term, if you will. Why would this be so important for Jesus to go to the extreme of commanding his church? Because Jesus knew that we couldn't do what was required for the church to do in our own strength. We would need a supernatural power and strength from heaven above.
For more information, visit us online at www.truthandfact.org.